It's Good Friday, and welcome to the Sports Line podcast here on CHCH. I'm Bubba O'Neill. Well, sports in Southern Ontario is our focus, and folks, it is hard to dispute that there is nothing like the postseason in sports. So again, that will be our focus today. When the Brantford Bulldogs hit the ice tonight at the Civic Center, they will be hosting Game 1 of their Eastern Conference quarterfinal matchup against the Ottawa 67s. Folks, this will mark the first time in 40 long years that the city of Brantford and that old barn on Market Street have hosted playoff hockey in the Ontario Hockey League. To preview what's going to be a wonderful series, let's bring in, and he's got some fancy title, but let's call him the play-by-play voice of our home squad. Reed Duthie. Reed, thanks for joining us.
Oh, Bubba, it's always great to be with you. I'm just sorry I couldn't be there in studio, but other duties today, getting ready for Game 1.
Well, I'll tell you, this is going to be, I think, such a fun playoff. But let's, before we get into, you know, who you're facing and all the particulars there, let's look back a little bit. A year ago, so many question marks about the Bulldogs. Where are they playing their games? Will they be in Hamilton? Where will they play if they're not in Hamilton? They find a home in Brantford, and boy, what a successful regular season it was.
Incredible. And really, at this point, people have got to stop counting out Jay McKee as a head coach, because every time they throw doubts his way after the Bulldogs start 1-7-1, he goes on a tear with the team, and they put up an incredible regular season to get home ice advantage. And the city of Brantford's been a big part of that. 22 out of 34 wins in the regular season on home ice at the Civic Center, and one of the best home ice records in the entire Ontario Hockey League, Bubba. So this community has really embraced the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs have fed off that all season long, and it's been a huge reason why they've been so successful. And that's why they were so determined coming down the stretch, getting three of the last 4 points in that final weekend to pick up home ice, because it's been such a big advantage to have that crowd. And, you know, the Bulldogs don't necessarily want it to run to a Game 7, but if you run into a Game 7 atmosphere in that building, boy, I don't know that there's too many teams that would be looking forward to the Madhouse on Market Street and playing a Game 7 in it.
Well, and there were so many things for you to get used to as well, too, as a franchise. And you're right. The community has certainly embraced this squad. But what about yourself? I mean, a new broadcast location, new timing for you to do everything in terms of getting to the rink and watching practice. And for the players as well, too, a different dressing room for some of the veteran players. I mean, it really just seemed to you like, and no doubt, you knew the crowd was going to be excited about having Ontario Hockey League hockey in their town. But what about for the franchise as well, too? Quite an adjustment.
You know, for me, it's been great. My office is actually my broadcast booth, so every day I get to overlook practice while I'm just doing my regular stuff. Once they put the industrial strength heater in there, you know, even better. I'm not freezing every day when I go and wear my giant coat in the office. But I think it's been a really positive move overall for the Bulldogs. The city was super supportive in us going in there and really revitalizing the Civic Center and putting on the new dressing room addition. The players have a lounge. They've got a whole gym set up in the building. Everything that the players needed to be able to have success is right at their fingertips inside the building. New offices for the coaches, new offices for Matt Turek, the lounge that was put in. The office downstairs for the staff has been really good. I mean, Vicano Construction did the work. They did a lot with a really small space in terms of available offices that existed in the building. Really worked some magic to be able to do what they've done. I think everybody, when we saw it finished, just wanted to get in and get to work in it, because it's a really fabulous facility. When you consider the age and probably a lot of people going, how are they going to turn this back into an OHL rink with the 40-year distance in between the Alexanders and the Bulldogs? They found a way, and I think everybody's embraced it, and it's been a big part of the success is that everything that we need from an office perspective, everything the players need from their perspective, the staff, the coaches, it's all right at your fingertips. It's in the building, and once we drop the puck, then the fans just take over, and it's wild.
Well, and look at that season. You did hint to the fact that the Bulldogs had a slow start. There was no doubt about it. And there was obviously some doubters. But as you look through the regular season and it comes to a conclusion and you look at that East Division, you have a solid standing in that East Division, third place in the conference, and now you're locking up against the likes of the Ottawa 67s, who finished right behind you, 5 points back in the division, but they're actually seated sixth in the East Conference. And you're looking up, though, Oshawa, you got to give them tremendous credit. Wow, did they finish the season, at least the regular season, on a heater. So four teams from the East are into the playoffs.
Yeah, and the East Division was locked up like that all season long. And the Kingston Frontenacs, they really pushed North Bay in game one of their series last night. They're not going to be an easy out for the Battalion to start off that 2-7. But when you look at the Oshawa Generals, Bubba, you make a great point about their heater to finish the season. They did some real nice work at the trade deadline. Early on in the season, they pick up Connor Lockhart from the Peterborough Petes. He comes over and continues to do what he's done in his entire OHL career, and that's just put up points. Callum Ritchie gets healthy. He's a first-rounder from the Colorado Avalanche for a reason. And then they pick up Connor Punnett and Zach Sandu on the back end. And those two defensemen really helped to round out an impressive 6, even 7 for the Oshawa Generals. They were the two pieces that they really needed to be in front of Jacob Oster, who's an elite goaltender in the Ontario Hockey League. That pushed them into first place. You know, if you're a Bulldog fan, you're probably saying, yeah, if we'd had Nick Lardis, if we'd had Tomas Hamer, if we'd had Cedric Sinokitundu down the stretch, maybe they don't pass us. But there's no use worrying about that now. Things are really starting to roll the Bulldogs away in terms of health, wink, wink. And the 3-6 matchup gives them home ice advantage, at least for round one. You got to take care of the business that's in front of you. And then I think we'll take our chances and go from there.
Well, looking at that season series, I think the Bulldogs probably enter with a little bit of confidence, you know, winning 3 of 4 contests and the loss coming in a shootout.
Yeah, and the funny part about that one is that the Ottawa 67 scored first in 2 of the wins, the last 2 that the Bulldogs got on them. And it's really been a tale of the Bulldogs overcoming deficits in between those 2 games at the end. And the shootout was tight. I mean, right from the very beginning, that could have gone either way in that hockey game. Daniel Sobolev in his first game with the Bulldogs tied it with 13 seconds to go. And the first meeting of the season all the way back in November, that was a Mateo Drobak show. 31 out of 32 saves. Really, the last 2 meetings secured the spot for the Bulldogs in third place. The last one especially being the 2 points that lifted them ahead, and then all they needed was the win by Oshawa that they got over Sudbury to take third place. We knew from that win we were going to have home ice advantage. The 67s are tough, though. When you look up and down that lineup, it's deep, both at forward and on defense. They've got 2 goaltenders that can play. Both Colin McKenzie and Ian Micheloni can be starters, and that's why they went out and got Micheloni when they moved Donoso to move around their overage spots a little bit. So I don't think by any stretch that they're going to be deterred by having lost the season series. They were in every hockey game. A lot of those were the Bulldogs pushing away at the end. So Ottawa's going to come in confident. They got Dave Cameron behind the bench. Anytime you've got a Dave Cameron coach team, you know they're going to play you hard. You know they're going to play you tight. So the Bulldogs have got to be on their game right from the beginning. They do not want to fall behind, as they've done in a couple of games, because in playoff hockey, we know how much different it can be. You don't want to have to expend that extra energy coming from behind in a series that's going to go Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and games 5 and 6, if necessary, would be a Saturday-Sunday split. So you want to be the team that's in control of these games as much as possible, and that's where the Bulldogs having home ice advantage really comes into play. They're going to need the crowd to be on those 67s early and often.
Well, just quickly on that, I mean, you look at those Friday-Sunday game that will be played at the Old Barn on Market Street, and that you guys are looking, or at least requesting your fans to wear white. You want that sort of Winnipeg Jets whiteout to happen in that building.
Absolutely. There's T-shirts available at the merch shop. We're asking all the fans to come out, wear whites, whether it's the white jersey like you see over my shoulder, whether it's the white shirts that we've got for the games that actually say 2024 playoff whiteout. Whatever you've got, Bulldogs whites, wear them. There's going to be white rally towels as well. Everything is coming for the whiteout. And the Bulldogs are going to be really excited to see that when they come out the tunnel tonight for game one. And that whiteout, Bubba, is going to last all playoffs. Mm-hmm. Every single game, we're looking to go whiteout inside the barn. So the Madhouse on Market Street could have a really interesting look to it.
Well, that's a lot of fun, and I love that type of engagement with the fans and getting them involved. And no doubt that certainly has to really pump up the players as they hit that second season. Now, going back to one of the things you talked about, the fact that, yes, the Bulldogs did dominate the season series, but when you look at these teams on a, you know, goal scored, goals against, power play, all that kind of stuff, very, very tight.
Yeah, down to the fact that the team's leading scorers, Luca Pennelly for Ottawa and Merrick Van Acker for Brantford, both finished the season with 82 points apiece. These two teams are very, very mirror image-like. Ottawa with a slight edge in the power play, the Bulldogs with a slight edge in the penalty kill, but you see it when they get together on the ice. Both these teams like to roll four lines. They both like to roll three defense pairs. They both got two goaltenders that they can trust. Although I imagine they'll want McKenzie versus Drobak to be the headline set up for this first round. It's really tough to pick from, Bubba, because you even get behind the bench. Jay McKee and Dave Cameron to the front offices. Matt Turek, James Boyd. It's two teams that are built very much the same way. Two teams that are coached fairly similarly, and two rosters that are constructed very, very similarly, and especially in the deployment of those rosters. That's what makes this series so interesting back and forth.
You know, obviously, we talk about the postseason. This is for all sports. Is it in that second season your best players need to be their best players? But because there's such a focus on those best players, they've got to, you know, maybe go through the extra checking. They're getting to see the same defenseman night in, night out. And I think that's why a guy like Merrick Van Acker, he could be a factor in this series.
Absolutely could be. 82 points on the season. Merrick has been absolutely brilliant. He really stepped up big when Nick Lardis went down. And for a personal level for Merrick, he did it at the right time. His NHL draft season, he's rocketed up charts. His success, though, Bubba, isn't just because he is so slick around the front of the net, because he's got a great shot, because of what he can do offensively. He might be the hardest forechecker in the Ontario Hockey League. He is a nightmare for teams to have to play against. And going back to the days of Arthur Kaliev and Jan Janik with the Bulldogs, where they put those explosive offensive talents on the penalty kill, Merrick Van Acker has taken a role on the kill as well. And if you turn the puck over with him on the ice, his explosive skating, he's gone. And it's a breakaway chance on goal. And for a guy who finished just under 40 goals, that's not something that you want shorthanded racing in on your goaltender. He's dangerous in every aspect of the game, and it's a testament to his hard work to making himself that way, and his commitment to the coach is what Jay McKee and Andreas Karlsson, the forwards coach, have put in front of him. His improvement from season one to season two is off the charts. He's only going to continue to get better as he gets bigger, as he gets stronger, as he gets faster. But even as an 18-year-old leading the Bulldogs and scoring into these playoffs, he's going to be somebody the 67s are going to have their eyes on. And that's a deep defense that he's going to have to work his way through.
Well, and you, as we have Van Acker, who, you know, maybe surprised some and continue to get better and better. And I think that's such a plus for the Bulldogs to see him in that mode of improvement. We knew Luca Pennelly was going to be a factor all season long for the 67s.
The Stony Creek product. Luca Pennelly actually outscored in his 19-year-old season his brother's best season in the Ontario Hockey League. Francesco played for the Kitchener Rangers. 48 goals for Luca Pennelly this season. He's gifted. There's no other way to put it. He's a Columbus Blue Jackets fourth rounder, and they're laughing maniacally about getting him in the fourth round. The fact that he was still available on the board at that point is just downright silly. He's a lot like Van Acker in that he can do everything. You can put him in every situation. It's not just the scoring. It's not just the point production. It's that he does all of the little things. He's a miserable player to have to go into the corners against because he's got so much sandpaper in his game. He annoys, he pesters defense. And because he adds that skill level, he plays with such a swagger to his game. You've got to be on him right from the very beginning. I don't know this for sure. I haven't talked to Jay McKee about the plans, but I expect that Mr. Pennelly is going to see a long run of Mr. Sobolev on the back end for the Bulldogs, and that will be something to keep our eyes on.
Hey, as we've seen in these Bulldogs playoff runs and, you know, 2 years in recent time, ending up in OHL championships and trips to the Memorial Cup, we've always identified one or two or maybe even three players who we didn't expect much from in the, you know, going into these series and going into each playoff, but they really stepped it up. Who's that guy for the Bulldogs this season, the wild card?
Well, you could go just about anywhere on this roster for a wild card because it's so incredibly deep. But if you're looking for somebody that's going to really be an X factor in the playoffs, I'd go Lucas Moore. He probably flies under the radar of a lot of people because he's a defenseman. He doesn't put up gaudy offensive numbers, but he doesn't have to. He plays in every situation. He plays huge minutes. And from the trade deadline to the end of the season, when Hamara and Okotundu go down for a long stretch, right up until about the very end, when I think Sobolev and Protz just about caught him, Lucas Moore was backpacking top minutes for the Bulldogs. He plays the power play. He plays the penalty kill. He blocks shots. He's got a howitzer from the blue line. And the beauty of his shot is it's always very tippable. It's why he has a ton of assists in his OHL career. But Bubba, he's going to have to carry a heavy load because Ottawa is so deep. If you put, say it's Protz and Sobolev up against the Millett-Pennelly combination that we've seen for Ottawa, that means that Moore and Adrian Rabello, the forward who's turned defenseman, likely end up with Braden Kressler's line, the Toronto Maple Leafs prospect. And they've got talent on that line as well. So he is going to have to really be a key for the Bulldogs right on through this playoff run if they're going to have a ton of success. And Lucas Moore is built to do it. He is that kind of player. He is a team-first guy. There's a reason he wears an assistant captain's A. He's continued to improve at each step through his OHL career. And what might be key for him, he's got championship experience. He didn't play a ton on the road to the 2022 OHL championship because the blue line was packed. He did get into a game in the OHL finals. He played game four when the Bulldogs were really pressed for bodies. He's been there. He's been around the guys that did it. He learned from Arbor Jacki and Colton Kammer and Nathan Steos and Artem Grushnikov what it takes to be a championship defenseman. That's why I think he is the Bulldogs' X factor on that back end.
What about the flip side? And I know you talked about it. They're loaded full of talent and well-known talent. But again, it just seems synonymous with the playoffs that someone were like, where'd that guy come from?
Henry Muse on Ottawa would be a guy that I'm going to keep my eyes on because he's in his draft season. He just had a brilliant run through the regular season. He's going to be a high pick. But at the deadline when they went out and they acquired Millett and they acquired Kressler and they acquired Samuel Maye on the back end from the Peterborough Championship run last year, Muse, it almost felt like he got lost in the shuffle a little bit. Here's a guy that led the team in points by a defenseman, led the team overall in assists with 46. And he's a lot in the same way as Lucas Moore in that he's going to play in every situation. He's going to quarterback a power play. He's going to be handling heavy minutes at even strength. And he's going to play on the penalty kill. He's going to be a guy that if Ottawa's going to have success, they're going to need that guy jumping up from the blue line, but doing it responsibly. Can't get caught up the ice. Henry Muse is that kind of player because he's so good with his skates that even if he gets caught a little bit up the rink, he can fly back and get into position without problem. He's a guy that Ottawa is going to rely on for heavy, heavy minutes along with Samuel Maye on the back end. And if they have success, that's a problem for the Bulldogs.
Well, Reid Duffy, the second season is about to begin. We obviously looking at that schedule and hoping for a big, big influence from the home crowd. They can certainly carry this team to all kinds of likes in terms of on a mental basis, getting them prepared, carrying them through the tough times because there's going to be tough times in this series when you got to kind of reach down. So I guess you're just really pumped up for this. Let's hope that the people in Brant are pumped up for this and that, you know what, you've experienced a long playoff run. Maybe this is the beginning of something special for the Brantford Bulldogs.
It very well could be. Lawson Churk has been on that train for a while and he's got the guys all believing. The captain says they can do it. They believe they can do it. And Bub, a little bit of a treat for the fans is that games 3 and 4 in Ottawa there will be viewing parties. Now, there will be RSVP necessary at the Civic Center. It's at the lounge. And I think I can drop this little bit of information that I'm not going to be in Ottawa for games 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at the Civic Center doing the play-by-play live in the lounge for the Bulldogs fans in attendance. So we're going to get them pumped up while the team is on the road. And if there's a game 5 necessary, I hope I've got them all ready to go and ready to be right back in the building for game 5.
Well, with all due respect to the fine folks at Rogers in Ottawa, we'd much rather be hearing from you, Reed, certainly.
We're going to have some fun with this series, Bubba. I'm going to do everything I can to make this one special for the first time in 40 years. The Alexanders, the last time they hosted a playoff series was 84 against the Greyhounds. Shane Corson, Bob Probert, Steve Smith were all parts of that team. Let's see if we can make a little bit of history with, you know, guys like Lardis and Thomas and Jacki and Sobolev and Protz and Shirk and Bougeau. I could be here all day.
There's so much fun to this. And again, enjoy the ride, Reed. And we certainly appreciate your participation and what you do. And certainly joining us here on the Sportsline podcast to preview what should be a wild round one of the OHL East quarterfinal. Thanks for joining us.
As always, thanks for having me. And next time, I promise I'll be in studio with you.
Thanks again, man. Thanks for joining us. Hey, that's your Sportsline podcast for the day. And as you've just seen and heard, boy, we love talking sports, especially with enthusiasm. If you do know of an athlete, team, or event to promote, the Sportsline podcast do want to hear from you. Please hit the thumbs up, like, and subscribe button. And if you do have something to say, we want to hear it. Please comment. For the wonderful people that make the Sportsline podcast possible, enjoy your Easter weekend if you celebrate it. Thank you so very much, and we'll see you on Tuesday.